Good vach. This is Parshat Vayakel, 5782. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are about to explore the parsha. All right. Once again, this year is sponsored in loving memory of Sarah Balab Menachem Mendel. May her neshama have an aliyah. So hopefully I'll be able to do this justice. There's a lot of information that I want to go over. I wrote this a few years ago, and there's kind of a couple prerequisites. I'm going to try and explain everything. Hopefully it will be straightforward enough, so I will do my best and try not to speak too quickly, so please bear with me. So Parshat Vayakel is a little bit of a somewhat of an abbreviated version of what's contained in Parshat Truma, and it mentions all of the items, or most of the items that were part of the construction of the Mishkan or featured in the Mishkan, of course, including in that is the Aron itself, which was the most important item in the Mishkan, the Aron HaKodesh, and that symbolizes the connection between Hashem and the Jewish people, and by extension, mankind. Now, our relationship with Hashem can exist as a direct or indirect relationship, which is really both, but it can actually be actualized in two ways. Now, the Badim, or poles, signify that although we may seem alone or independent, we are inserted into the natural world at large and are functionally part of or connected to something larger, which is namely the purpose of creation and the ongoing relationship between Hashem and man. Let me explain. The Aron had Badim. The Aron had poles on opposite sides. Yet the Aron was not actually carried. We know that when the Levium were accompanying the Aron, that they didn't actually carry it by its poles. So what was the significance of these Badim, these poles, if they weren't actually used to carry the Aron? That's what I'm going to be focusing on today. So one of the symbolic significances of the Badim is referred to, like, just as poles are inserted into the sides of the Aron, we are inserted into our Aron, which is everything that's contained within us, right? Aron literally means, or has a lot of possible meanings, whether it's closet, relating to light. It has a lot of, it actually means all of them, all of the roots you can think of, but it's symbolic of a connection to Hashem and everything within it. So too our poles or our inyanim, whether you refer to our goof or our personality, our neshama, whatever it is, it's inserted into this world, which is a conduit or means of conveying our connection to Hashem. And the Aron represents this absolute relationship. And therefore, that relationship, no matter what a person does, no matter how far off the derech a person goes, no matter how distant from Hashem, he can never actually truly distance himself from Hashem. He's always connected to Hashem. And that's symbolized by the Badim. The Badim were never allowed to be removed from the Aron once they were inserted. Now, there's an interesting discrepancy, however, between our Parsha, which in this case seemingly is actually Parsha, I believe it's Parsha Pekudei, not Vayakel, and when the Aron's mentioned the Parsha Truma. By Parsha Truma, it says, Torah writes, Heveta the Badim b'taba'ot al tzalo to Aron, let's say to the Aron behem, and you shall insert the Badim into rings which are on the side of the Aron to carry the Aron with them. The Torah specifically gives the instructions to carry the Aron bahem with them, even though, of course, they didn't actually use the Badim to carry them, but that's a separate question. But it uses the lashon of bahem with them. In our parsha, possibly Pekudei, the Torah only writes laseit et ha'aron, to carry the Aron, and does not use the lashon of bahem, bet heimem, with them. Now, this discrepancy seems to hinge on the fundamental nature of carrying the Aron. Now, again, we're not literally carrying it, but again, whatever the symbolic carrying is involved. It has been suggested that this is tied to the diametric functions of our two parshiot. Now, Parshat Truma is written to instruct how to build a Mishkan, and Parshat Vayakel and Pekudei are mentioned to function as how it was constructed, not so much the initial thought and the initial planning that was going into it, but the actual, what actually took place. In Vayakel and Pekudei, they're saying what was gathered, what took place. Now, the instruction mirrors our perceptions and initial thought. The Badim, which are inserted into the Aron, enable us to proverbially carry the Aron. But in reality, the verse is true, and that's part of the reason we can't physically carry it, and even the Levim and the Kohanim couldn't carry it. The Aron is what carries us. The spirituality imbued in the Aron actually carries us. Hashem's relationship to the world is such that He carries us, but nevertheless, we have to make it as if we are carrying it, meaning we have to first take the step of grabbing on to the Badim. Now, again, literally, I'm going to stress this again, we didn't literally grab onto the Badim, but it's more the symbolic of why they were there in the first place. Now, Aron was not the only one of the Kelim that actually possessed Badim. Now, there are three other items in the Mishkan that did contain Badim, one of which is the Shulchan, the table, one is the copper Mizbeach, copper altar, and one is the gold Mizbeach, the gold altar. Each one of the Kelim had a unique function, but they all had to have something in common, as we see by having the Badim. The Badim were separate components, but were inserted and used together. And by the other three instances, meaning the two altars and the Shulchan, they were actually grasped. Now, as noted earlier, we can serve Hashem in two ways, or more correctly, by two means. We can connect via physical means or spiritual means. And both are a necessity. We need to connect to Hashem in both ways, both physical ways and spiritual ways. Now, the Aharon typified this relationship even more than the other three, symbolizing that our relationship with our Creator must be done by means which we have available. And that means we can't always, kind of hard to explain that, but I'll get back to that. The Shulchan was, so getting to the other three, I'll try and do my best to circle back to that point. The other three items, as we mentioned, the first one is the Shulchan. It contains bread, according to Chazal. It's functional, symbolic of the monetary substance or parnasa of the Jewish people, and the objects seem to function in a very worldly and physical manner. You know, you're dealing with bread, which is something which consumed. It was a large, heavy object with gold and wood. Yet we know that the loaves of the lichav panim, the showbread upon the Shulchan, miraculously stayed fresh for an entire week and was given to the Kohanim, either the half to the incoming batch of Kohanim, half to the outgoing batch, who served in the ultimate spiritual capacity of serving in the Mishkan. Now, the Mizbech and the Choshet, which is the second item, the copper altar, was similar in this regard. It was the place for almost all offerings, many of which were also consumed by the Kohanim or those bringing the sacrifices. It also involved taking a physical animal, slaughtering it, roasting it, and often consuming it. It would therefore seem very physical in nature, but an intense amount of care and a lot of halachas had to be taken into consideration when eating these offerings that had to be done in absolute kedusha and strict and pure holiness, that had the ability to atone for one's sins in addition to functioning as a means for bringing the carbon tamid, the daily offerings, the continual tribute to Hashem. And that actually, even though it may seem physical, was actually a relation of the ultimate spiritual capacity. Now the gold altar, the Mizbech HaZahav, also known as Mizbech HaKetoret, was somewhat unique. It was used for incense primarily. It also had two badim, but unlike the other kalim, only had two rings on the badim, unlike, I believe the other was had four. The only other instance in the Mishkan where there were only two rings is in fact by the Choshen, when the breastplate, which was connected to the ephod, one on each top corner. So there were two rings, one on the top left corner, one on the top right corner. In fact, in Parshat Truma, this Mizbeach is actually not mentioned at all, but rather is placed in Parshat Tetzaveh, which is something that I wrote about a couple weeks ago, that the incense Mizbeach, the gold Mizbeach, is not even mentioned in Parshat Truma with everything else. It's clearly a kli, a vessel of the Mishkan, but also has some unique qualities. Now, the Big Day Kahuna, the priestly garments, which were mentioned in Parshat Tetzaveh rather than Parshat Truma, could only be worn by those who were performing the service, and only while they were performing the service. They were physical objects, which were clothing, of course, but they were used for a highly specific spiritual purpose without deviation. And seemingly that's the lesson by the gold Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was primarily used to offer ketoret or incense, something which is made up of physical components, meaning plants and herbs, but only to be used in a spiritual regard, to create this reach, this scent, this beautiful, these reach nechoach, right, whatever it was, this beautiful incense, you know, smoke that appealed to the sense of smell. Sense of smell is unlike a sense of touch, is something which is generally considered more spiritual or non-physical in nature. The ketoret could not be deviated from even in the slightest, and if you did, then you would have the penalty of death, and therefore was symbolic of strict adherence to the law. Now, the badim of this particular altar, this gold mizbeach, symbolized, like the other kelim, both physicality and spirituality. It had the physicality of the actual herbs and plants that you were grinding up, but it had the spirituality of the smoke, the scent, and everything it represented. These badim instructed not to pervert spiritual pursuits by physical desires, but rather to convert physical pursuits into proper spiritual endeavors. If you involve yourself in spiritual pursuits and enlightenment not for the sake of heaven, but only personal fulfillment, that's obviously not what Hashem wants. Righteous law or morality can be bent in the minds of whatever way a person may deem reasonable, as long as it makes them more comfortable with spirituality. But that's not so. If people are doing that, that's often to satisfy some physical or emotional craving, which is often selfish and inconsiderate in nature. It may be tied into self-esteem, it may be tied into power, whatever it might be. But it's not necessarily what Hashem wants, or not necessarily what your purpose is in this world. We don't need to manipulate things physically for our own gain. And sometimes that can even happen when you're being overly stringent, which can actually obfuscate, or whatever word you want to use, obscure the original intent of the law. So sometimes even if you're doing something properly, but you're doing it overly meticulously, that you completely miss the point that of the spirituality of nature. That's also the purpose. Now, the Mizbech HaZahav in our Parsha is listed amongst the other kelim in the Mishkan because its functionality and construction is in fact like the others, and they are like the other kelim that serve as a reminder of the unique ways in which we can approach Hashem through both both physical and spiritual means, and of course with the sake of heaven, sake of the Shem Shemayim. Now, trying to bring that full circle to the lesson of the Aron, we mentioned that the Aron has this lesson even greater than the other three items. You mentioned the Shulchan and the two altars. By having the Badim and having this physical and spiritual connection, now the Aron was far more spiritual in a sense than the other three items, right? The Shulchan had the physical bread, you know, and the altars had the sacrifices or the ground up, you know, plants as incense. The Aron, I mean, yeah, it had a couple items inside it, had the Kruvim on top of it, but it primarily was a much more spiritual item. However, nevertheless, it was made of gold and it did have Badim. Even though you couldn't hold on to them, it still had a notion of something you could grasp, which involves something physical. But it was a much greater reminder because since you can't, even though poles are something you normally can grasp onto, these particular ones you couldn't. Show that ultimately, even every single thing in this physical world is meant ultimately for a spiritual purpose, which is something that we can't grasp onto necessarily. We can connect to it, and we should connect to it. But everything is in an infinite level and an infinite dimension. And that's the ultimate lesson, which is why it was so holy in nature, and why only really the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was really able to see it, because so much of it was beyond our grasp. But the nature of the Aron and what it represented was not beyond our grasp. That the fact that it had poles, even though it didn't need to, teaches us that even if we can't always connect to something in the most logical and precise manner, it doesn't mean we can't reach for it. That there still is some level through some means of physicality or some means of thought or learning that we can still connect to the spiritual, even if we can't literally hold it in our hand. And that's really what the Aron is teaching us, even beyond the lessons of the other three items. So I realize that there's a lot of different concepts here, and it's only partially fleshed out because so many of these concepts can really be expounded further. And obviously, there's so many abundant lessons from the Aron, including the way it was layered, the way it was structured, etc. But I was hoping to just kind of touch upon a piece of it, and hopefully I made it clear enough. So wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom and upcoming Good Chodesh.